It was just my imagination. Ooh, that this movie wouldn't suck. Hello and welcome to Hurry, the Movie is Starting podcast. My name's Richard, and I'm going to be your host for today's show. Today, we are going to be post-gaming Imaginary, the Blumhouse horror movie that was released on March 8th, directed by Jeff Wadlow. If you weren't here for the pregame, last week we pre-gamed Imaginary. Ashley Austin and I gave our preview of what we thought this movie was going to be, gave our predictions, and then we gave our predicted overall Rotten Tomatoes score. This post-game is going to be following that. I went to go watch Imaginary yesterday in theaters. I'm going to be giving my review, spoiler-free and spoiler review. I'm going to give my final rating, and I am going to compare our predicted scores to the actual score that is up on Rotten Tomatoes right now. So that should be fun. Let's dive in. Going into this movie, it is a Blumhouse movie, and Blumhouse for me has been hit or miss. There's been some very, very, very solid movies, and there's been movies with great concepts that have kind of like floundered out towards the end. A lot of people did enjoy Megan, and I enjoyed the beginning of it, but towards the end, it just became to me kind of like a mindless slasher. And that's not what I really want. I really want a horror movie that's gonna expand my mind, make me think, give me anxiety. And this movie, there were a couple promising moments in the beginning. It was okay. To be honest, it was okay. It was nothing spectacular. I've seen this dynamic of the stepmom not having like the respect of the kids and trying to earn their respect, and then in the chaos of the horror elements go on around that. So, spoiler-free review. I'm going to jump into that. Spoiler-free review. The movie was solid. It was okay. I personally think it's one of those movies that you can wait till it comes out of theaters to go watch. Like, you're not going to miss anything by not watching it in theaters, in my opinion. The acting was not the best. It was very hard for me to connect with these characters. There was some traumatic stuff happening in this movie. At the same time, I'm just, can you hurry up and get through it? And that's very sad for me to say, because I'm generally an empathetic person, but this one I could care less, because the acting was just wasn't that great for me. So that was my one gripe. There was kids in our theater when we went to go watch yesterday, and the kid was like, "Oh, did you see the bear? Like his head moved across the screen." And even I was like, "Whoa, that was kind of cool to see that later on, and then actually start paying attention to it and be able to like see these small things happening." That piqued my interest. That got me a little bit more hyped for it. And then the ending happened. And Blumhouse is gonna Blumhouse. But again, the acting wasn't that great. The story was okay. The concept was fantastic. I'm still kind of upset that floundered this concept. But it wasn't as bad as Night Swim. As long as it beats Night Swim, because that movie was absolutely terrible, and I still regret spending money on that. But it is another disappointing Blumhouse horror movie for me. I left the theater given like a 3.5, and the shoddy acting, the random ending, there were some like decent shots in this movie, but the budget was only 10 million, so there was nothing like super spectacular. Towards the end, they go into this location where that was the majority of their money spent on the budget, and it looked okay. It looked okay, but where they were at and like the quote unquote rules of this place, there could have been so much more. And the fact that Paranormal Activity came in with a budget of $15,000 and still like did what it did, you got to think creative people are going to get past the money issues. And this is just one of those movies that I think they could have done a lot better with the concept they have, and they just floundered on it. But it wasn't terrible. It definitely was better than Night Swim, which was all I was hoping for, because after watching Night Swim, I'm still in talks with getting my money back on that one. I'm just joking. I'm not really in talks, but I just wanted to make it seem extreme. That's my spoiler-free review. I left the movie thinking it was a 3.5, but after I drove home and got to actually sit down and think about it, and there were parts I did enjoy, and there were parts that I absolutely could not enjoy. And I think the acting, if we had better acting, I think it could have brought this movie up a little bit more. But overall, I thought it was a 4.5 out of 10. I think it's one of those movies that you can wait till it comes out to watch. I don't think you're missing anything by not seeing it. I am predicting, I'm saying like 85% is going to be Horror Nights House this year, because the Horror Nights houses, they'll always have those random like Blumhouse movie houses that just can make a good Horror Night house. And I can see this movie become a Horror Night house. So now I'm going to jump into my spoiler review. So if you haven't watched the movie, go ahead and stop listening now, because I'm about to spoil it in 3, 2, 1. All right, let's get spoiling. So the plot of this movie is Jessica is a children's author and she's kind of running into some writer's block. She's not able to finish her book. Like, she's having these nightmares that are popping up that, like, the movie starts off with a pretty solid jump scare of her dad coming out as like a spider trying to like attack her. And it, from that point, I'm like, oh, snap, that's cool. And then it turns out to be just a dream, like one of those dream elements. So it kind of starts off a little strong with that aspect of it. And her husband sees that she's still having these nightmares, so they decide to go on their trip a little bit earlier, and their trip is going back to her house from when she was a child. Now, when she was a child, her mom was... I don't think it said like what happened to her mom. Her mom's just not there anymore. She's dead. And her dad is now in a hospital permanently as a crazy person. So that's... She's going back into her childhood house, and that's when like the craziness starts to begin. She is married to Max, who is played by Tom Payne, who you might have also seen in The Walking Dead play Jesus. Rest in peace. As they get into this house, Max is a musician who is then leaving to go do his own thing. And Jessica is stuck with Tom's two kids, who are his kids, but not her kids. So there's that budding, I'm trying to be your authority figure, and the kids are not our real mom kind of drama going on, which we've seen a lot in horror movies. And there's a door that Alice, the youngest of the two kids, finds, and she inside that door turns out to be a teddy bear. And this teddy bear we find out to be is Chauncey, her imaginary friend. That is the basic plot of this movie. Chauncey then talks Alice into doing more increasingly sinister things throughout the movies. There's a scavenger list that she needs to go out, and a couple things on the list are just like, oh yeah, like find something cute, find something this. And then in the end, find something that hurts you, find something that scares you. So it's like it's escalating. Throughout the middle, there's this old lady that keeps popping up that the neighbor's like, oh yeah, she's lost her mind, blah blah blah. You know, the crazy kooky character that's always around in the background in these horror movies that we can assume is probably going to be like a villain. And it was predictable. It turned out to be this woman was Jessica's babysitter as a child. And that despite Jessica not remembering most from her childhood, this older woman remembers everything. But she's played as like this creepy old lady whom you can't trust because she just keeps popping up out of nowhere. And then there's a scene with the neighbor boy where he's trying to come over and hang out with the older sister. He's just like walking around upstairs and then he just looks down and you see like Chauncey's pull string just on the floor just being pulled, and then his like song's playing, and this kid's trying to find where this pull string's coming from, and as he finds it and stops it, the bear starts coming towards him and then turns into this giant monster getting ready to eat him and doesn't. It's like a blink and miss it kind of like transformation. And throughout this movie as well, another thing that worked well for me was there's some scenes where focusing on a character and you see something move in the background, but it's not overtly, it's not focusing on that, so it's like you have to pay attention to it. And those elements I absolutely love, because I am someone who is frightened of dolls that come to life and just the random movements of something past you when you're not paying attention. I love that. And then it all goes downhill. Once Alice finishes off this list, they go and open up the door to, they call it the Never Ever, and then she gets trapped in there, and Jessica, the other daughter, and the old crazy lady. So the concept that we found out from the trailer is now finally towards the end of the movie rearing its head out. And that's one thing that bothered me too, because you could have made this trailer in a way where we thought the imaginary friend was Alice's the whole time. But because the trailer tell that this imaginary friend is someone from the past that has come back to someone who's abandoned them, we assume it's Jessica because she's the main character. And that's one thing that disappointed me. We already know what's going to happen and you don't kind of turn it on until the end of the movie. So that was kind of a disappointment for me, but whatever, it happens. So they all finish their own scavenger hunt and get into this Never Ever, and it turns out to be this cool-looking dark place where like, there's stairs all over the place, stairs going up, stairs going down, reminiscent of the Harry Potter room where there's just stairs going in opposite directions. And it looks kind of cool, but we're in a place... I mean, they don't really explain that. They just say it's Never Ever and that your imagination can run wild in here. And the concept is Chauncey is so very hungry because he feeds on the imagination of kids. Which, again, fantastic concept! The idea that your imaginary friend is getting stronger and stronger because he's eating off your, like, creativity and your imagination? Fan-fucking-tastic idea! The execution, though! Just, oh my gosh, it just flounders so bad! And it sucks because the concept is incredible!
they're looking in the Never Ever for this kid who's disappeared. And this old lady shows that, oh, I'm going to trap you guys here because here we can always be happy. Anything we want can come true. And she's not wrong. But at the same time, you kind of expected this from her because she's like that kooky old lady that turns out to be the villain. And again, she turns out to be not really a villain because all she does is like remove the block that's holding the door open. So it just closes. She doesn't do much, but she's just crazy and kooky. And door opens and she gets eaten like off screen immediately by Chauncey. And that I believe that's like the first kill of the movie towards the end. Which again, I'm not going to a horror movie for lots and lots of kills. Sometimes that's a good thing. But if it's very interesting concept with great execution, then I'm all for it. Anyway, so she gets dispatched from once she came right there, killed by Chauncey off screen. It was kind of stupid, to be honest with you. I thought it was very stupid the way she was killed, but whatever. I'm assuming at this point the budget is kind of running low because they spent it all in this imaginary place, which does not look terrible, so I will give them that. And they find the girl and they find Chauncey, and there's a cool scene where there's a poster of him and you're assuming that he's going to come out of the poster, and that happens, and he for me, it was hard for me to take him seriously because Chauncey as like this giant monster bear, very reminiscent of the monster bear thing from the horror and makeup film show from Universal Orlando. So I just cannot stop thinking about that while watching him as a monster. But anyways, they do what they gotta do. No one else dies. They get Alice and they escape from this place. And then a day later, Jessica's with her family and she's over here opening up, being vulnerable to him. And then something seems off and then she realizes that she's still in the Never Ever. Fantastic. If the movie ends right there, it's a way better ending for me. That is an ending that is reminiscent to Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which is one of my underrated horror movies, because the stepmom ends up sacrificing herself for her husband and his daughter, and now she's trapped in this place with these monsters forever and she's become one of them. And I think that is fantastic. That is great. That is excellent. The sacrifice of a character for the greater good, when done correctly, can be a very, very powerful motive. But they Ant-Man'd us. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, Ant-Man Quantumania, where Scott Lang gets trapped in the Quantumania and there is no way for him to get out, but then all of a sudden now you can get out and you can beat King at the same time. Just those little loopholes that take away everything that this character has just built up so much, and you can just give them the ending they deserve, and it's just taken away just because they want to keep this character alive. I was very disappointed at that, because she does end up escaping the Never Ever. They light Chauncey on fire. He's quote-unquote dead. And then at the end of the movie, there's a little kid who's talking to another imaginary friend. Turns out he still has this Chauncey doll. Ugh! I just hate she got out of the Never Ever, even though she was like stuck in there, still not realizing she was stuck in there. I will say another thing they did well, too. Throughout the movie, it's showing that this girl is holding this imaginary bear. But then when starting to talk to a psychologist, she sees that the voice that this girl is making is not really the girl. It's that actual imaginary friend. And then Jessica starts saying, oh, where's the bear? Where's the bear? Because we've seen this bear throughout the movie. There's even a scene where she's talking to who she thinks Alice is in the bed under the covers. But then it even moves like a kid would. But then she lifts up the cover and it's just the bear, Chauncey. And therapist is like, what are you talking about? There is no bear. There's never been a bear. And we find out that this bear has never really physically existed, that it's all been part of Jessica and Alice's imagination. So that I absolutely love too. But again, the ending just fizzled it out for me. And I'm so disappointed because I had so much hype. I'm like, oh man, they're really going to kill off their main character and keep her in the Never Ever over a glorious sacrifice for her family. And nope, she got out. So it didn't matter. Overall, leaving the theater, I thought this one was a 3.5 out of 10. But after getting home and actually like being able to ruminate and think about it a little bit more, I'm going to raise it up to a 4.5 because I did enjoy elements of it and there were some really cool things that were in this movie. I just think the execution of the ending and like how it just went from a strong rise to just like, oh, we're just jumping off, sucked for me. But that's my issue with Blumhouse lately, is like I've seen that with Megan, where it started off pretty strong and then the ending just came off like a mindless slasher movie to me, and not for me. So that's going to be my final review for this movie. I think it's one of those movies that you can skip in theaters. You can watch it at home, like during Halloween time. It's definitely going to be Horror Nights House. I'm predicting this one for sure is going to be Horror Nights House, because this seems like a Horror Nights-esque kind of house that this would be. Now, let's compare to our predictions from last week. Last week, we predicted our overall score, so the tomato score with the audience score combined before the movie came out, it was 0-0. I predicted 139%. Austin predicted 130% and Ashley 125%. The overall score for Imaginary is 85%. Not good at all. Not good at all. If you don't remember, our mission is to predict as closely as we can the combined overall Rotten Tomatoes score. And if we go over that actual score with our prediction, then we get a 10-point penalty for doing so. And it's going to be like golf, where the lower score is in first place and it just goes from there. So, the standings after our first movie pregame is going to be first place, Ashley with a score of 50 points. Second place, Austin with a score of 55 points. And third place, me with a score of 64 points. Still plenty of movies left in this season to watch, so this will be constantly changing throughout the season, so stay tuned for that. Our next pregame is going to be coming out this week, and it's going to be covering Ghostbusters, which, not going to lie, after the first couple trailers, I was not looking forward to this. It just looked like kind of Indiana Jones cash grab. But after the more recent trailers and seeing who's in it, I am getting a little bit more hyped about it. So we're going to be covering that next, and I'm going to be having Ashley and Austin on me on the podcast with that one. So stay tuned. That's going to be it for this one. I appreciate y'all for listening. It means so much to me that I'm able to do what I love and talk about movies and people are willing to listen. So I appreciate that greatly. But don't forget, hurry! The movie's starting! Take care.